Okay, if you can please kneel, we most assuredly need to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these trials and tribulations that have come our way. Thank you for giving us the peace of Jesus in our hearts. So that no matter what happens, we know you're still in control. The enemy's trying his best to stop us. Please bless our gathering here in this kind of unorthodox setup I got going on right now to do the church service. Please bless it in a major way. And if there's a way to fix the main system, if in fact it has a static charge running on the motherboard, please bless me with a way to kill off the static charge or the funds necessary to get a whole new system. And thank you also for blessing us again for a changing of the showbread on the Sabbath day. Thank you for what you shared with us last night, earlier a few moments ago in the studies with the children's study and here with the church study. in whatever you're going to be doing in this sermon, because we know the enemy does not want this to be proclaimed. And so thank you for blessing us, loving us, and giving us the latter rain if we are so worthy, and for forgiving us of our sins, which are many. And again, Father, please accept this prayer in the name of your precious Son, who is our eternal King, Savior, and Commander in this holy war. His name is Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things that are seen and unseen. Amen, and amen, and amen. Amen. Okay. Now, you could all hear me okay, right? Because, like I said, this is a totally strange setup. I'm using a microphone on a laptop, so I don't know how tinny it is, if it's actually working or not. I got two good mics next to me, but can't use them. My main system is not going to allow it. So, and for those of you that are coming in a little late here and noticed that the sermon title was changed, we had another strange issue with the sermon that was supposed to be shared this Sabbath in regards to changing the path we're on, part one of three parts. It looks like all three parts were sent in one sermon. I don't know. It's hard to figure. Because instead of being 30 to 35 minutes, it was an hour and 25 minutes, and that's just way too long. So, what do you mean fuzzy? Is the microphone fuzzy now? Okay. It's fine? Okay. Oh, that's probably the laptop. All right. As far as I can see, and that's not too far, as I like to, like you, I have to look through dark glasses. This sermon written by Paul in Romans chapter 12 has to be one of the most powerful sermons in regards to explaining the duty and blessedness of the Christian walk. So, Romans, and like, if you noticed underneath the chat room, if you're new, scroll down, you'll see all the notes, the verses. I just put in the whole chapter of Romans, and I'm going to be going in and out of there, so if you want to read along, just scroll down underneath. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, most Christians today don't see their walk as a reasonable service to God, and they most assuredly don't ignore the world by any means. As we look around today, and because we as the remnant of the seed strive unto the perfection that the Gideon band will walk in during the final plagues, we have a duty to warn those that the Lord sends our way. But look around. And you're going to see that most Christians aren't into fashion or Hollywood or video games or violent sports and worldly music, just to name a few. If Jesus Christ were to send an angel to any of these Christians today, and he does do this often, as it is written in Hebrews 12 Hebrews 13 verse 2, these poor souls would most assuredly be found wanting and counted unworthy for the residence of heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 actually says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So, and since we are striving and to be the best of our ability, obedient children of the Bible, and since we believe God's word cover to cover, we have to admit that if the Word of God says our Lord sends angels to check up on us, as he did so in the past with Abraham and others, that he's still going to be doing it this today. I mean, no matter how much we fear such a thing or even disbelieve it, because, oh, it's modern day, you know. A lot of people don't want to believe it because of that. But it's written in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. That's when I look at fashion. I think mankind changes left and right. Or just society itself, and languages. In fact, look at how the devil has been able to use language to manipulate the scriptures. I mean, there's people that read the Bible today as if it was written today for some odd reason. They don't take into account that it was written 2,000 years ago, and so they don't take the chronological theology behind it, like the belief structure of the people back then, or even the societal issues that they were having back then. They don't see that. So, what does our Lord demand of us as followers of His Son in the work of saving ourselves, as well as others, you know, well, revealing Jesus so the others can get saved? But, I mean, after all, is it not written in Philippians 2, verse 12, that we are told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? Yeah, and Paul said, I die daily. So now, yes, the Lord works, and He works in and through us by the light of His truth, of which we get a brand new measure of each and every day that we open His Word. And yes, the Scriptures refer to the movement of our Heavenly Father's hand as it is revealed in the world when we go forth as obedient Christians who, for all intents and purposes, are to be teachers, who illustrate the character of our God unto the seeker, no matter where they reside. And a lot of times, you don't even realize you're teaching people. But you are. And sometimes it's not a good lesson. And a lot of times it is a good lesson, so praise the Lord for that. But to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, is to declare Jesus Christ Lord, and in so doing, we present Him to the world. But this doesn't mean we only speak of Him to others. Our daily walk, which includes everything from how we dress to how we keep His law before the critical eyes of those seeking to belittle the truth, as it is written in His Word regarding the character of the Bride of Christ, or just the word Christian for that matter. I mean, this is why we come off as peculiar when they expect a frown and they find a smile, or when they expect a harsh retort, they hear loving words. Yes, Paul declared back then, via the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is to be our reasonable service, or basic duty as Christians, who are called to represent Jesus Christ on earth. Because if we can't do it down here, we're certainly not going to be able to do it when we get home, because being students of the Bible as we are, we understand to be ambassador for Christ, or to reign with Christ in heaven, doesn't mean we're going to reign over each other. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. We're all going to go to heaven, we're all kings and queens. How does that make any sense? Until you look up and you see all those planets in the Milky Way. Paul talked of those worlds. There's unfallen people up there. And yes, getting back to the way we're so peculiar, this is another reason why we're hated. Of course, as prophesied, the wicked hate Christians because Jesus said that they would, due to the fact that His loving ways are not of their worldly ways. But they actually look at the love we declare in truth to be hatred. Have you seen it in the news lately, just especially in the last few years, and especially the last year while Obama was in office, because he's the one that pushed homosexuality to legalize it. But anybody that walks up with a Bible and shows them a Bible verse that they did not write, because none of us wrote the Bible, the person with the Bible verse in hand is considered hateful. Isn't that amazing? But being in the last days, that's to be expected. And being in the last days, the lost have even more of a reason to hate us. What I mean by that is, yeah, they hate us as it was prophesied, but when, you know, because of the obvious reasons, but when you look at how the overwhelming majority of the Christians out there refuse to do the reasonable service for Christ, most in the world that should look to us see Jesus, you know, to see Jesus and desire that love and peace that He has to offer. Instead, they see people that claim to be Christians yelling at each other, or suing each other in court, or getting into fights, or getting drunk, or smoking, or worse, like the Westboro Baptist types. They go forth with an agenda that is based on pure hatred of the lost in the world. If you're not part of our number, we just hate your guts. That's how they are. Yeah, that kind of reminds me of how the Jews treated the Gentiles back then. And so, as it continues in verse 2 in Romans 12, it says, we must be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, contrary to popular belief, mankind can be transformed by the renewing of his mind so that he can walk in the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But how does he prove this? Well, by allowing the Holy Spirit to take complete possession of his mind so as to move his heart to change his character. But most, as we know today, only offer lip service to Christ And instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to transform their way of thinking towards the perfect will of God, they prefer a God that conforms to the imperfect will of self. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 9 says, "We are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men." And with that said, we must be all that we can be in Christ Jesus, because as we know, they are in fact watching us, looking for any grain of dirt that they can build up into a mountain of bad report about Christians so as to sanction to walk in the ways that please their flesh while still claiming to be Christians. You know, whether you believe that or not, they watch each and every one of us, especially if you're a new Christian, so as to either ridicule us when we fall, because we all fall, we all grow by grace. I mean, it's just like with parents, you know, there's a reason you're a lot older than the baby. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. Well, it's the same thing with Christians. As you walk in Christ, you're going to make a lot of mistakes in life. But and those that walk alongside the Christian, who understands how iron sharpeneth iron, knows that, yeah, we fumble and fall every now and then, but the real Christian is the one that gets up and gets back to work like David did after the baby died. We all make mistakes. And so a lot of people would rather like to build on our mistakes rather than the real Christian that goes, yeah, but by the grace of God, there go I have mistakes too, and we've all done it. So they ridicule us when we fall, so as to make it solid in their mind that it's impossible to walk with Jesus. You know, I know I too looked at newborn Christians when I was a young man, seeking to see if the power of God was real upon those that claimed him as Savior. You know, being Roman Catholic when I was back then, you didn't really have a lot of information about how Jesus Christ can change you. Because in Catholicism, you're saved in your sins. I wanted to be saved from them because they were driving me up a wall. But absolutely no one knew what I was up to. You know, because I wanted to let them know that, you know, the Holy Spirit was tugging on my heart. You know, I wanted to play the macho card, you know, what young man doesn't. And so half the time they had no clue what I was up to. And the other half of the time, I don't even think I knew what I was up to either, because whether we know it or not, there's a reason the Lord puts certain people in our lives, be they Christians or not, because even a wicked person can help you find Christ by planting a seed of like, whoa, Nelly, I don't want to be dealing with anything that guy's doing. You know what I mean? Because that, you know, just as much as you want to be blessed like a real Christian is blessed, you also don't want to be judged like or even chastised or spanked from on high by the wicked, the way they're going to get spanked. I mean, especially when you see those plagues fall. A lot of people think it's going to be a rough time for the Christians, but no, that's not what prophecy says. Yeah, it's going to be difficult for us if we're part of that Gideon band. You know, in other words, if you're still alive and you're part of the 144, but the people on the earth, especially the ones that claim to be Christians, yeah, it's going to be the worst time ever. You can't even describe it. And so again, there's a reason certain people are put into our lives, and they are either sent to help us find Jesus as Lord, or for us to help them find Jesus as Lord. And so, just as a good tree is going to bear good fruit, so will that tree that is truly planted in the Lord's garden produce good fruit unto eternal life. No longer does the Christian newborn or well-seasoned in Christ allow evil thoughts to be entertained when they make an obedient decision to walk in Christ. They learn by a daily walk in Christ Jesus to purge such worldly ways from their hearts. In so doing, they become a good spectacle unto the world, as Paul said to the church in Corinth. And by the way, the word spectacle in that verse is translated from the Greek as theater or public showing, no less. And so it is exactly as many of us, myself included, have discovered the peace of Jesus or the love of Jesus or the truth of Jesus by looking at people in our past that found Jesus before we found him. I mean, they're good spectacle made for an excellent public showing to gain our attention so as to bring us to our knees and accept the same Jesus that changed and blessed them to change and bless us. And so with that said, we all must continue to be that very good spectacle of Christ so as to bring many to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, while at the same time perfect our walk so as to be, you know, worthy of the very soon coming latter rain. As a matter of fact, we were discussing at the camp meeting, and I think we did it again last night, as to all the things that are about to happen next. The very next thing to happen right now is for Satan to appear as Jesus. That's what we're waiting on right now. But most of the churches out there have no clue. They're not warning the people that's what's supposed to happen. They're not warning the people that Jesus Christ never touches the planet when he comes the second time. None of them know this. So, but that doesn't, you know, that just shows us we got a little bit of work to do. Still, even here, when we get closer to Christ and we receive a blessing from on high and our fruits are growing, even here, Satan can tempt us to cultivate pride. When we strive onto the divine nature, we are prophesied to walk in. And so as it goes on in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think to himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You know, this is where a lot of Christians seem to falter. They come to a saving knowledge of the Lord and are given utterance regarding same, and then declare themselves wise above the rest thanks to demonic influence towards exalting the flesh, because now they think they're all that. And then there's the other toss of the coin, wherein many have positions of authority or high-paying jobs when they find Jesus. They again look at themselves as if they're head and shoulders above the rest, and therefore feel superior to their fellow man. In so doing, they become a bad spectacle unto the world and cannot be used of the Lord to bring souls to Christ at all. Instead, like we see so often around us, as from the way the prelates of Rome act in pompous ways, to the Westboro Baptists, who show bold hatred and evil fruit unto the world in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a method to their madness. It makes real Christians look bad. It's going to make it that much easier for them to gather at Armageddon, you know, to surround our caves or even our homes or our jail cells, wherever we happen to be, if we're part of that number. And then you also can look at the, and I couldn't, you know, because I like to do this every now and then. I like to watch street preachers on YouTube, and because I'm looking for somebody that has genuine love, you know, because the Lord's got me in the last couple, 3 years doing a little bit more in-depth look into his love and how to display his love. And so I'm looking for street preachers that reflect that, because once they get to that point, you know, then you can approach them and maybe they'll be part of our number. But I got to tell you, these guys, they go out there, a young girl walks up and addressed in a worldly manner, and he calls her, on a megaphone no less, a whore. And then looks at her boyfriend and calls him a whoremonger. Is this how we are to display love towards those in need of salvation? No. Could you imagine if Jesus said that after they decided not to stone Mary Magdalene? He says, "What are you dressed like that for?" Or whatever the case may be. Or no, it wasn't Mary. It was the woman. So no, that is how Satan preaches. So as to keep people in his trophy case, he uses hate. And as is obvious, this is not how we are to display Christ to a sin-sick world. Offering an example of more sin will only make it much more worse for those that the Lord sends our way. I mean, Christ was richer than any man alive in ways we cannot imagine. His faith, his wisdom, his discernment proved he truly was head and shoulders above the rest, where no man would ever doubt he was as such that knew him. And I'm not talking about the, you know, the demon-possessed Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. But even though he was head and shoulders above the rest, he never displayed such worldly fruits as his professed followers do to this day. You know, many a time, Christians have found themselves humbled by the Lord due to their self-seeking glory. If they had only kept their eyes on Christ rather than on self, they would have avoided being put in a humbling position before their brethren when their exaltation called for open correction, because we worship a God that cannot be mocked. And if you stand in a true church and declare yourself to be above those you are called to serve, you will be openly humbled. For it is plainly written in Luke 14:11, "For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." But anyway, going on, we read in Romans 12, verses 4 to 6 now, that For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And as we learned earlier in a previous study, to prophesy is not always about telling of future events, as is made boldly obvious in the Old Testament before much of the Bible was penned. Men and women alike were called to declare doctrinal truths from the Lord that were yet to be penned. And that act was declared prophesying as well. So it's not just about talking about future events. For if it was not yet penned in Scripture, and the new light did not go against the already penned old light, it was declared an utterance from on high. This is why we see so many false prophets today, just as Jesus predicted. Literally millions declare Sunday as the Sabbath, for example. That's just one out of who knows how many doctrines, but they all say Sunday's the Sabbath, when there's not a single Bible verse to back it up. And when that happens, you know, we have this, we seek that which is already penned to verify what is preached. You know, like in other words, if they're saying they're prophesying, because they are actually prophesying that Sunday's the Sabbath, because there's not a Bible verse to back it up. And so it must be a prophecy from on high, right? So we go into the Bible, we dig into it like a Berean would. But the problem is, sometimes, like many of these false doctrines out there, there's many and sometimes even hundreds of Bible verses declaring from the old light that their doctrine is wrong. And so we now have been able to identify a false prophet, which, again, like I said, is why Jesus said there's going to be many today, because they all preach things that are just not found in Scripture. And, you know, one can prophesy by simply explaining the Word of God as he intended it to be explained, by allowing Scripture to define Scripture. The more faith cultivated always means the more wisdom to prophesy. But that's, you know, be it doctrinally or even prophetically for that matter, unless we stand as one in Christ or as one body of believers, we can never attain to the divine nature or perfection in Christ that moves us to be more concerned for those the Lord puts in our lives than we are for ourselves. You know, that's the biggest issue. This is why Jesus likes to bring up repeatedly being the servant, as did his apostles. To be those spectacles that the seeker looks out, looks upon to find Christ is truly worth following and accepting as Lord. We need to ignore self completely and do what we can to better those we come into contact with. In fact, it goes on to say in Romans 12, verses 7, all the way to verse 14, that when it comes to ministry, let us wait on ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Living in the last days, as we know, we see most that walk among us where we live and work are described clearly in Romans chapter 12, verses 28 to 32, that says they are those that did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And so God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the... We were talking about this verse last night, as a matter of fact, my Jerry Springer theology verse. Without, it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that's why you always see them applauding on the Jerry Springer show after the, and I haven't watched it in years and years and years. I'm just saying, that's what the world's like. Somebody gets up on stage on Jerry Springer's show and says the most disgusting things that they do in their life, and the people applaud and laugh and have a good time talking about it. It's ridiculous. But it was prophesied, as we see here. If we look back in time,
And for some of us, that could be just a few short weeks or a few short years before we met Christ. We too exhibited many of these evil traits. That being the case, how can we that have been with Christ in prayer and with Christ in His Word daily walk like this anymore? For in so doing, we are no different than the world. We are called to share Christ with. We would be like what Isaiah talked about, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. And yeah, we mentioned that verse a lot. That's why there's no need to read it. I mean, it's just, because that's what we're seeing all around us. Still, even though we know this is how we will be tested, sometimes due to our lusts of the flesh to do as we used, to enjoy doing, those tests may be very hard for us to overcome. But not if we stay in the Word and put an honest effort forth to do and to be those that our Lord said will be able to receive the latter rain in the coming days. And so, as Romans 12, verses 15 to 17 says, we can go forth and rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We can even, like it says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. In other words, like Paul says here, be not wise in your own conceits. When we stand in obedience, we are then seen by our tender, loving Heavenly Father as the prophesied body of Christ that He lovingly calls His Son's bride. But a body is not just a head. It's not just an arm or an ear, for that matter. It's a heavenly company of divinely placed believers, purposely placed together by our all-knowing Lord and King to glorify the Creator that made them piece by piece in the first place. Nary a single one of us can ever stand alone to declare that they are solely used of God to do this final work. We must be one in Christ with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, just as the human body must be well constructed with a head, eyes, ears, arms, legs, and fingers, for that matter, to do as the body was designed to do. Still, there are many out there that don't understand this, and this being the very last days, and Satan knows who we are, we must be constantly on guard, because old habits inspired by the enemy of souls can rear their ugly heads without a moment's notice if we are not sufficiently grounded in the truth. This is why I always say, we read the Bible daily. If we fail to read your Bible every day or go into prayer as the prophets of old that had their morning, their midday, and their evening prayers, we will be easily lured back into Satan's trophy case of lost souls he can use to garner even more lost souls to get it bulging at the seams. As we have seen over the years, and this included even before we came together as one in the Seventh-day Remnant Church, many of us have a tendency to lash out at those that persecute them for their faith, even though no hatred was displayed when truth was presented. You know, when this happens, and we know this happens a lot, we need to respond to such anger towards our faith as penned in verse 17, which says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. I mean, after all, it's not written in boldly prophesy in Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, that we should gather yourselves together like we're doing? Yea, gather together, O nation not desired, as we aren't desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. You know, as students of prophecy, we know all too well how we as the remnant of her seed are not desired most in the world. By most in the world, rather. Even those that claim to be Sabbath keepers, like because there's a Seventh-day Adventist, you got Seventh-day Baptist, Sabbatarian Baptist, and even the Jews, Messianic and whatnot, even those that claim to be Sabbath keepers look upon us with hate because we refuse to join them in sanctioning everything from like recently some of the videos that I put out where they sanction homosexual marriage or declare it's Allah is worthy of worship. As the obedient bride of Christ, we also know how that great and dreadful day that Zephaniah speaks of here, we know for a fact it's racing towards this earth in lightning speed when our Lord returns. to give his reward unto all mankind. So we have to be ready. We have to help others get ready. And as for seeking the meekness of Christ, which in turn prepares us for the long prophesied latter rain, Jesus himself said this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Because we all know what happens at the end of 1,000 years, right? When the hell fire burns everything up. And then, like it says in the scriptures, we're going to walk on the ashes of the wicked. We will inherit the earth. In other words, the New Jerusalem will be on planet Earth from that day forward throughout all eternity. Many in this sin-sick world are neglecting the much-needed preparation to receive the refreshing and the latter rain so as to be fit to stand in that great and dreadful day of the Lord. I mean, those who refuse to be changed by beholding Christ Jesus in his word and allow the Comforter he promised to send to fine-tune their walks in prayer and understanding, they fail to work, to do the work of purifying the soul so as to be able to obey the whole truth and nothing but it. And not just those passages that don't rub them the wrong way. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 again, right? So we still have much work to do, brothers and sisters. Yes, we have done much work already. We were just talking about that the other day about how just our own number alone, we know for a fact. I don't want to get into the numbers, but I couldn't believe it when it was. I don't know the exact number. I just know the cards are over 1 million. But it's an amazing amount of work that has gotten done in just the last few years. But unless we continue the task at hand, all those that might have heard the truth will instead echo Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, that says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Those are Christians talking. Those are the people that weep when you read about the weeping and gnashing of teeth. They weep because they thought they were Christians. So if we seek to be part of the Gideon band, then true Christ-like honesty must be our compass in life. We must stand in Christ, even when it doesn't benefit us to do so, for many will only claim Christ Lord when they can gain notoriety for it. In fact, Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, that when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. I mean, but there's people out there that like to advertise. There's a lot of people that do that on YouTube where they do what they call prank forward. And they do things to show how Christ-like they are to help others. That's one good on one toss of the coin, but the other toss of the coin, you're not supposed to be advertising. It's just like with the Pharisee raising his hand high enough for everybody to see it to drop those large coins into the coffer, whereas the widow comes up and drops in those two little pennies. Oh, and by the way, alms that are spoken of here in Matthew, when Jesus used the word alms, that can be defined in everything from giving a donation to helping the needy to picking someone up off the ground who just fell before you on the street, or someone in despair, or someone that needs, a new tire for their car. I mean, just whatever. Honesty in action must always be pursued, even if it means certain trial for us is going to come our way. And yes, sometimes certain death, if it is required to remain in Jesus. Martyrdom, need I remind you of the hundreds of millions of obedient souls that allowed the Vatican to kill them because they refused to bow to their pagan gods and their dogma? Only in heaven will we find out how many souls were moved by their strong faith in Christ on that day, that they were martyred. Because that's one of the reasons the Rome started to, that and Napoleon getting on their case, but Rome started to realize every time they burned someone at the stake, 10 more Christians would pop up. Because like I was when I was a seeker, when I saw somebody, share a smile when I expected a frown, I in my heart, I wanted to know their God. I wanted to know Jesus in the way they knew him. It's just like when someone's burning at the stake, like Huss, burning at the stake, singing. A lot of people are affected by that. God cannot use us if we are more apt to clamor to the preservation of the flesh, because only those that walk after the Spirit can be trusted as vessels blessed to glorify their Heavenly Father and God. I mean, the way it moves hearts, because that's what got me to start getting serious about finding Jesus. I watched other people that claimed to be Christians you know, all of a sudden one day, bam, they went from being an overwhelming sinner to a Christian. I thought, I wanted to meet their God. But anyway, Romans chapter 12, verses 18 and 19 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, those of us that have been a target of persecution in recent times can attest to the fact that when we stand firm in our convictions, as they are eternally written in the Word, our God and loving Father will intervene and put those that persecute us in a light before many that illustrates their agenda and our faith. It is a sad, heart-wrenching thing to see, yeah, but it is much needed sometimes in most cases, as we see, as we know our Heavenly Father allows such things to help those in sin see their danger and hopefully repent. There's a reason for it sometimes. You know, I've seen this happen many times in the last few years alone. And yes, sometimes it takes a few months, and sometimes it can even be a year or more before the truth is made known to those around us as to who stands in the truth and who does not stand in the truth when the sparks of persecution begin to fly. But even if it takes a lifetime, it is always better to be in God's good graces than to seek revenge or even the acceptance and rewards of men so as to protect something as trivial as a man's good name. Because who cares what they think? You know your Heavenly Father reads your heart. You know He knows you. So no matter what they say, it really doesn't matter. And so to finish in this truth that is found in Romans chapter 12, that speaks of the bride of Christ, who is prophesied to be that living sacrifice that glorifies her Lord. Romans chapter 12, and the last two verses say, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Amen. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much again for being present with us as we gathered here today in this worship service and in the Bible study. And thank you so much for the changing of the showbread. At the same time, thank you for helping us get through these technical issues and blessing us with ways to either repair them or replace them. Thank you for loving us that much and giving us that which we need to go forth and do this work. And thank you again, Father, for the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing from all righteousness, and blessing us with a latter rain if we are so worthy. Even if it means we have to take a nap before you get here, that's fine. We know nothing evil comes from above, and we know whatever way is best for you to use us, we stand ready to be used. But we need more faith, we need more courage, we need more wisdom, and we need more discernment. And so please bless us, Father. Every time we go in your word, bless us, as well as when we go on our knees. And thank you for blessing the remainder of this Sabbath day in a very special way. And we offer this prayer to you again, to the best of our ability, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and amen, and amen.